superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoking crack!
Wednesday, my dudes. Let's go. NHL. Three games on the schedule tonight. Yesterday was fun, wasn't it? Well, maybe not if you're an Oilers fan. Flames win again. They're buzzing. The Canucks. What is going on in Vancouver? Another multi-goal lead gets blown. Big issues there. Big issues there. If you're the Flyers, I mean, are you on top of the world right now? Like, when's the last time Flyers fans have felt this good? It's got to be years and years. You're probably going all the way back to their Stanley Cup final year. Was the last time they actually felt this good. We'll get to a lot of that action, of course. World Hockey Report presented by Every Game. Tired of shopping around for the best odds on sketchy sports books? Well, stop wasting time and click on the link in our bio today to sign up for Every Game. They've got the best bonuses, odds, and just for being a World Hockey Report listener, you're going to get an awesome surprise when you make a deposit using the link in our bio and punching the promo code WHR in. That's simple. WHR, punch that one in, get a promo code or get a promotion. I don't even know what you want to call it. Every Game, it's the absolute best sports book. You don't have to worry about any of that BS that you got to deal with other sports books as well. Okay, 8 games in the NHL last night. We'll break them down.
Oh, what a pass by Patterson. Zoom into that can't trust up over.
Controlled by Chernak, turns it over. Wheel around Rister. Score!
Walking in, Paterka scores.
Turning, here's a shot. Also scores.
Here comes Chinakov. Chinakov, right wing scores. Jackets win in overtime. Pullman, the rubber at the top. Backlund scores.
A lot of good action last night. Okay, let's get some final scores out of the way. Anaheim loses to New Jersey 4-2. Columbus comes back on Vancouver, wins 4-3. Of course, Canucks, they were up by 2 in that one. Ottawa hammers Boston 7-5. They put up a touchdown on the Bees. Isles get past the Sharks 5-2. Buffalo doubles up the Oilers 4-2. LA over Nashville 4-3 in a shootout. Flames 3-2 winners over Vegas. They got to be feeling good about themselves. Couple of bounces didn't exactly go their way. They fought through a little bit of adversity and they came out on top. But can we hit the rewind button quickly and talk about how insane it is that the Flames were offering free beer at their game? I don't think we got to talk about it last week. Free beer at an oil or at a Flames game. That's incredible. And then you want to go up to QE2 and look at the Edmonton Oilers. They're on a 2-game losing skid. I get it. It's 2 games. It's early. They're 3 games into their season, but you should not be losing against the Buffalo Sabres on a Tuesday night when you have the likes of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl fully healthy in your lineup. You got to find a spark somewhere. The Oilers have to find it because all of a sudden, you know, you let a couple of these games slip away. Well, now come playoff crunch time, you're battling for a home playoff spot. Are you going to look back at these and go, well, damn, probably should have showed up a little bit earlier. It's been slow starts this season. They haven't got the goaltending they've needed. And frankly, Buffalo was just the better team. They're getting ridiculous goaltending. Eric Comrie was awesome. Craig Anderson's been good this season. He has a 9.72 already this year. I mean, yeah, maybe some bounces don't go the Oilers' way. Yeah, they run into a hot goaltender. There's no excuses in the NHL. Ask the Vancouver Canucks right now. Excuses are for losers, and right now the Oilers have lost 2 straight. We got to talk about the undefeated teams. We keep the list rolling here on World Hockey Report. Calgary, Dallas, St. Louis, Carolina, Philly. What's good? 5 undefeated teams right now left in the NHL. Retro reverse jerseys getting dropped. I know some of them have been leaked. I don't really see the big deal. It's huge on Twitter. We keep getting people asking us about it. Maybe I'll give some thoughts later, but to be frank, if I had to just pick a general assumption right now, it's a whoop-de-doo. It's a sales tactic. The NHL is going to sell them. They're going to make some money. Good on it. It doesn't affect whether I watch a hockey game or not. Like, I do not let it affect my life in any way, shape, or form. I can't believe people are going this crazy over it. Okay, quickly, NHL leaders here. Stamkos has 6 goals, despite the loss yesterday. Panarin's got 10 points. Doughty's averaging 27 minutes and 44 seconds of ice time. I thought that was insane to lead. Craig Anderson's got a 972 save percentage. Flyers are 3-0, though. Straight off the pipe podcast is in here. Interesting. The Saddle Dome is taking a page out of the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Stadium with their concessions prices. Is the Saddle Dome crazy too? Straight off the pipe, let me know. I know it's wild at Rogers Place. I know it's getting absolutely absurd there. And you know what? It's different for every market. I know ticket prices are a hot topic. People wanted to talk about that. People like to complain about it. People are surprised Seattle's expensive. I mean, just take a trip out there and you would know it's expensive. And before we're going to step aside here and get to our next guest in a second, we did throw it out though on Twitter. Flyers fans, how do you feel about the start of the season? Adam's in here. For me, I say it's still way too early to tell. I remember 1 year Montreal started the season 9-0, but finished the season out of the playoffs. Not a clue. Not a clue what year that would have been. 9-0. I don't know at the top of my head. I mean that in a good way. For me, actually affordable. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, probably Saddle Dome's affordable. You don't have bills to pay there. That place sucks. Sean Forrester, whether you're a fan of Tort's style or not, the fact that he gets results for a period of time usually doesn't last, but he seems to be able to rally the troops, get some results. Well, he's got some results, and we're going to ask our next guest if that is actually something sustainable when we come back here. It's World Hockey Report Live. We're coming to you on Heavy Hockey Network.
Travel the world and watch sports with Sports Travel Tours. How about the English Premier League? Get up close at one of the F1's Grand Prix from Monaco to Singapore and beyond. To the NFL packages, the games in London, and to any across the U.S. Watch the Oilers and Flames with road trip packages to Vegas and beyond. Or if you're a hockey nut like us, the Spangler Cup is a must-see event. Watch Canada this December in Davos at our favorite championship of the year. For details and more, visit sportstraveltours.com today.
Get ready to win with Billy's Smelling Salts. Billy's Smelling Salts are for gamers, athletes, and competitors alike who want to get in the zone. Us at World Hockey Report teamed up with Billy's, and if you use the promo code WHR when checking out, you'll save yourself some money. The highest quality smelling salts in the game and at the best price point if you use the promo code WHR on Billy's. Billy's Smelling Salts. Get ready to win.
What we do here is go back.
It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen coming to you live, the beautiful province of Alberta. Join now. We talked Flyers. We got to get the inside scoop. They got Florida tonight. Bill Meltzer, my guest, contribute flyers.com. Can they keep it rolling here? What do you think?
Well, anytime that you're playing, I mean, Florida, although they're racked with injuries themselves, they're still a top team. They're playing in their home opener. There are a lot of reasons to be up for the game. I think the biggest thing for the Flyers is kind of to weather the storm. That's what they had to do last night in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay really came at them the first 10 minutes of the game. Flyers kind of weathered that storm. The rest of the first period was pretty even. Did fall behind by 2 on a couple Stamkos power play goals. And then they found a way to battle back and to win. It's probably going to have to follow a similar kind of a pattern where, the Flyers weather an early storm and then can find some equilibrium and get going from there. Is it sustainable? Well, I mean, truthfully, last year the Flyers were a team that only won 5 games all year when an opponent scored first. And they didn't win a single game. The only team in the NHL that didn't win a single game when they trailed by 2 goals at any point. Well, now, all 3 games this year, the Flyers have trailed first, and each of the last 2, they've fallen behind by 2 goals. So that's not something you have to duplicate very often. But the biggest thing is that under John Tortorella, they're starting to discover an identity and more resiliency. And I think that's the biggest takeaway so far, truthfully.
Bill, did the Delorier Maroon fight settle the team down yesterday in the first period that kind of said, hey, we're here to hang with the big boys?
I think that it did. If you look at the rest of that period, the 10 plus minutes, it was a fairly even period after that point. I do think that the team found a little equilibrium from that. And listen, sometimes you have a fight and there's no spark whatsoever. Last night was one of those nights where it actually did have an effect. So, and John Torello has been quick to credit actually a couple situations with Laurier so far. In the first game, a couple big hits that he delivered before the Flyers scored two quick goals after that in the second period and the fight last night. I don't think that that's, how much did it turn the game around? I don't know, but it certainly did provide a little bit of a spark when they were getting a little bit overwhelmed and getting their doors blown off a little bit. If nothing else, it was just a breather in game and they were able to reset from there. So, that's been one of the things that I think has at least helped resiliency wise. But the caveat here is that, any three game sample over the course of a season, I think there's a tendency sometimes to read too much into early games. These were three games in the middle of January. Maybe just when you look at the bigger picture, how much effect does it have in the long term? I don't know, but it's a good starting point to team that needed something positive to build off of.
Well, I'm not saying it turns the tides in the game, but I think it makes everyone play a couple inches taller. And I think it makes, the team have a little bit of confidence that says, hey, these guys aren't going to bully us around like Pat Maroon, Corey Perry have done to the rest of the NHL over the past 3-4 seasons. But you've seen the Torts effect firsthand now, small sample size, only three games. Do you think people are buying into his system in Philly now? Do they think people are a little bit more accepting of what he's going to bring in, and for lack of a better term, his hard-ass style to the team?
Yeah, and certainly the players have better buy-in. They're going to play for him. He has shown in his previous coaching stops in the NHL, he truly is a coach that will bench anybody. So he doesn't care who you are. So, if they don't heed, they're not gonna play for him. And it's funny. Towards the end of camp, one of those cuts was Zach MacEwen, and I'm not he's a lying guy, but when he went down to the AHL, one thing the Phantoms coach Ian LaPerriere did was he couldn't say enough about the great attitude that MacEwen went down with. That unlike a lot of other guys who maybe spent more in the NHL. And they find themselves back in the American League. It's not uncommon for a guy to feel a little sorry for himself, sulk a little bit, need a couple of weeks to refocus himself and get going again. And so LaPerriere made up to praise MacEwen for his really positive attitude. And I asked Torts about it the other day, and Torts responded with, well, he better have a good attitude. And if we have to worry about a guy's attitude and going down, he's going to get stuck there. And that's Torts in a nutshell. I mean, he is a hard ass, but I also think that there's a reason why he does what he does. And except in Vancouver being the one big exception, he's actually had longevity in his other stops in the NHL. And in Columbus, he got some teams overachieved there too. So, I do think it can work for a period of time, not just half season, one season. Ultimately, listen, he's going to have to squeeze as much as he can out of this roster. It's a roster that a lot of players who have better talent than their core, but it's unproven guys and guys who've been underachieving to a degree. That's really what he's trying to turn around. So, will it last? Will it work? I don't know. over the long term, I don't think anybody knows, but I do see the early signs of a team that believes in what he's selling.
Aside from stopping the puck, what's different about Carter Hart this season? What have you seen different in his game?
Well, I think it's a degree of resiliency. Carter's had shown resiliency before. I mean, honestly, last year it was almost two different seasons. At the NHL All-Star break, he had a .915 save percentage with a really porous defense in front of him. It probably cost him about half of a percentage point, even 1% off his goals against. He should have been in the 920 to 925 range. If team had been better in front of him. So that's really what a top, you know, what a top goalie in the league should be around anyway. And then after the All-Star break, he was injured a bunch. He didn't play very well. The team certainly didn't play well. And it pulled his numbers out report and pulled everything down for the season. But I think that other than that COVID season where he was just not very good, that flat out not very good. You know, I think he's fine. I think he's the least of the team's problems. But I do think that as a goalie matures, sometimes he can put a bad goal behind him a little better than when he's younger. He'd had nothing but success in junior hockey. He came up to the NHL within less than a quarter of a season in the American League. Nothing but up, 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 right? And then in his third season, he had his first real adversity. And that can be tough. That can be tough when you're not used to it and you're used to things going your way. So I think I just think having through some of that and coming on the other side of it is really the number one difference I see with him.
Bill, I think he did an article on Hockey Buzz about Sandheim's new deal, but just for our listeners here, what's your thoughts on it and how you see it shaking out?
I think Travis last year won the Barry Ashby Trophy as the Flyers' best defenseman. He had his most consistent year by far in the NHL. You know, I don't think Sandheim is, when he came up from the American League and after his junior career, I think he's expected to be a big offensive defenseman. And that hasn't really been his role so much in the NHL. He hasn't played a ton of power play, for example. He hasn't had a 40-point year, and he may never have a 40-point year, but the combination, he has good size, he has excellent mobility, and he's really learned to play the position. He'll give you 20 minutes a night every night. There's a much higher degree of consistency than there used to be. And listen, 20 minute a night defenseman who can skate like he can, they're not that easy to find. And if you draft them, it's a long process to develop them. And he's been through the ups and downs of development. So when the Flyers signed Rasmus Ristolainen to a pretty long term deal, controversially so, I might add, I think the whole idea was to keep his pairing with Travis Sandheim together because they seem to click together. So I'm not surprised that they resigned him or for a long term. I thought they didn't get any bargain on the contract. They had to pay open market value to get him locked up. But it's a player that they needed to resign. If you take him out of that lineup, then all of a sudden there's a huge hole. That's 20 minutes that I have no idea who would replace. And that was on a team that was already struggling. So I could see the argument and go, well, if you trade him now ahead of the deadline, whatever, you get higher trade value on him. And I understand that. But you're still trying to build something, too. And he's still young enough to be part of a team as you build something. So I think it's a deal that made sense for both sides. The ball was in Sandheim's court as to whether he wanted to pursue free agency or whether he wanted to resign. So, you know, that's one less thing to worry about and truthfully hanging over him and over the team all year.
Flyers Cats tonight, you got a pregame article up on Hockey Buzz. Talk to me, what are the keys to the game and what do the Flyers have to do to, you know, pull off another upset in a home opener?
Well, I think anytime you're playing a back-to-back, a 3-4, your opponent rested, regardless of opponent, you have to have shift discipline. You can't get guys for long periods of time. If you look at the game-winning goal last night and went the Flyers' way, what happened was Tampa's five-man unit got caught out on the ice for over a minute, and they were gassed. So that resulted in a turnover. That resulted in a back-breaking goal. It can happen to any, but especially when you're potentially fatigued against a rested team and a rested team that is playing its home opener, is missing some players, but still has a pretty good attack. I think that's crucial. Flyers got dented for a couple of goals last night. They had been 7 out of 8 to start the season. I think it's important they get back on the horse with that tonight. I don't know yet who's in goal because they have a morning skate today. But obviously goaltending is crucial, and they've gotten pretty good balance offense too. So you get goal from a couple different sources. I would say that would be the other key.
Bill, I got one more for you. Are they a playoff team?
I mean, on paper, it's hard to say that they're that right now. I think there's 79 more games to go. On paper, they're still not a playoff team as you look at the talent around a pretty tough division. But I think that they have the capability of being a team that overachieves, maybe even significantly overachieves relative to the expectations. The problem is that the Flyers get to 80-something points, say 82 points this year, right? They get 82 points. It would be massive overachievement. You're still about 16 points short of the playoffs. So it has to be a process. So if I had to sit here today and make a prediction, I say no. But I also don't think that they're nearly as bad as some people said going in.
Follow him on Twitter at Bill Meltzer. Hey, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the game tonight.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Back after the break on World Hockey Report.
Travel the world and watch sports with Sports Travel Tours. How about the English Premier League? Get up close at one of the F1's Grand Prix from Monaco to Singapore and beyond. To the NFL packages, the games in London, and to any across the U.S. Watch the Oilers and Flames with road trip packages to Vegas and beyond. Or if you're a hockey nut like us, the Spangler Cup is a must-see event. Watch Canada this December in Davos at our favorite championship of the year. For details and more, visit sportstraveltours.com today.
Get ready to win with Billy's Smelling Salts. Billy's Smelling Salts are for gamers, athletes, and competitors alike who want to get in the zone. Us at World Hockey Report teamed up with Billy's, and if you use the promo code WHR when checking out, you'll save yourself some money. The highest quality smelling salts in the game and at the best price point if you use the promo code WHR on Billy's. Billy's Smelling Salts. Get ready to win.
Here, just go back.
It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you on Heavy Hockey Network. Biebs is in the chat. Good answer, Bill. Lots of season left, but hell of a start. Fly Guys, 3-0. You love to see it. Get your comments and questions in now. Patrick Johnston coming up in a little bit here. Sports reporter at the Vancouver Sun and the province. We got to talk about these Canucks. I mean, what is going on? Another multi-goal lead gets blown by them. Unacceptable, probably an easy way to put it. I don't know. There might be some bigger issues, though, and we'll pick Patrick's brain as long as we can touch base with him. Let producer Eric let me know when he is on the line. But let's look back at the games from last night. Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Oilers and Sabres because this is a game, all the Oilers fans on Twitter, all I see, Leafs lose against the Coyotes. It's a trap game. Leafs suck. Coyotes, you know, don't deserve to be there. Well, this is a classic place of just a weekday sleeper, isn't it? I mean, the Sabres aren't that good of a team. Tage Thompson, great player, not a superstar. He's a top six forward on the Oilers. Sure, he's not near. I mean, he's probably one of the fourth best forwards if you put him on the Oilers. You know, this is a classic case of a team that showed up. They played lazy. It's a bad start. Say what you want about Eric Comrie. Yes, he played good. The Edmonton Oilers were not a good hockey club last night. That's a huge issue. You got to be able to show up. I know it's only game three in this season. I know that there's a lot of hockey left to be played. But what the Edmonton Oilers showed last night was just unacceptable for a team that should be heavily favored on home ice, and they just couldn't seem to get up for a game against the Buffalo Sabres. That's my breakdown. And again, I know Heavy Hockey Network, I know the guys are going to have a lot to say. They got a lot of great shows and content you can listen to for Oilers talk. But the last thing I got to touch on, the Dylan Holloway hit. Dirty? Clean? What's your thoughts on that one? Let us know in the chat anytime. Get your comments, questions in right now. Dylan Holloway gets blown up, open ice. Tim Peel thinks it's clean. And that's our resident referee here. So you know whose side we're going to be taking. Adam's on the side. It was clean. I think it was clean as well. I think this is a case of get your head up, kid. Yes, he caught a suey pass. That's a bad buddy throwing him a pizza. But you also have to be aware of your surroundings. This isn't the AHL anymore. This isn't Wisconsin anymore. This isn't the AHL anymore. Huge hits are going to happen. Michael says clean hit, but wow, that was huge. I would agree with that, Michael. It's a huge hit, but I also have an issue with the people who want to go around saying it was a dirty hit, because I frankly don't believe that. You want to slow it down frame by frame. You want to take the angle that makes it look like initial point of contact was his head versus his chest. Fine. Be a hero. Try save the day doing that. It's hockey. You're not getting rid of it. Not going to happen. I don't know. I don't think that there is as big of an issue as people seem to be making about it. But our next guest, well, as long as we can touch base with him, is Patrick Johnston to talk some Vancouver Canucks. And on Twitter at World Hockey RPT, we asked, what is going on in Vancouver? Homie says, Bruce is not the problem. The players are the problem. Too fragile, too soft, no heart, too many passengers on the bus, all way too slow. And I'm looking at guys like Besser, Pearson, Joshua. Fair breakdown. They've got a lot of issues. Their leadership certainly hasn't performed, certainly hasn't showed up. But there has to be a little bit more. From like what point do we start looking at the game plan and being like, hey, Bruce didn't have them ready for it? Like, they clearly were not ready. You go up 2 goals, 4 straight games, and you blow it. At what point do you start to adjust a little bit? Just a little bit. I'm not talking anything crazy. I'm not talking you got to stick 4 defensemen on the ice. But there has to be some coaching adjustment made. And I don't think Bruce Boudreau is doing that. Scott says fans are from fans chanting, Bruce, there it is, should get blown up. And it only took about 6 months. Must be a new record. Well, we all know how Canucks fans are. We don't need to dive or open that bag. Canucks fans will be Canucks fans in Vancouver hockey. Well, all they're known for is trying to burn their city down after 2011. Tell me I'm wrong. It's the only thing Vancouver Canucks fans are known for. Kerry says, ha ha ha, you think the fans know why their revered team is collapsing? Fans need a home game or two to really evaluate things. Well, Kerry, I fully disagree with you here. Why do they need a home game? Do you have to judge them in person to have an opinion? Because even if they're playing at home, what's that, 20,000 in the building? I know it's very generous for Vancouver, probably 15,000 actually go to the games. But are they actually able to assess better than if you're watching from your couch? I don't think so. I think if you're a fan, you're allowed to have an opinion no matter what. And not all those fans are going to games home or away. It really doesn't matter. You're probably watching them the same. So everyone's allowed an opinion. And that's why I think Carey's opinion is way out to lunch here. It's just how it is. You don't need a home game to assess a team. You're not a coach. You're not a scout. You're not a GM. You're not in the dressing room. You're a fan sitting in the stands so you can have an opinion if you like. West Coast Hockey says, yes, they should fire Boudreau so the Kings can hire him. The Boudreau hate's so hilarious. The guy's an incredible coach. The players play the game. It's on them. Vano King's not a fan of that, though. Doesn't want Boudreau. Says, no, we don't want that man. West Coast, why would we want a guy who's won 8 division titles in 15 seasons of coaching? Kings have 1 division title for their entire history. You can't be a bad coach and have teams win wherever you go. I don't think you want to trade Todd McClellan for Bruce Boudreau. That's my thought on that. Shout out to Philly Pete as well. I mean, the real Pete Tuch on Twitter, been absolutely crushing it with his bets. Up 5 units already this season. Feels like the game started, 5 days ago? And again, by 5 units, I mean, if you put $100 down on a bet, you're up $500 already. That'll buy dinner. That'll buy a couple of sodas. Florida's defense looks terrible. If you want to go, check out the Morning Skate as well. Ked and the boys, Brownie dropped the new podcast. It's out there. We got a World Hockey Report shout out 6 minutes in. So I figured I'd give them a little bit of love back as well. Morning Skate, probably one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. I mean, nothing against Heavy Hockey Network. Nothing. They got great podcasts, but I've been a Morning Skate guy since the beginning. Ked is freaking hilarious. I love it. Yeah, Mike, you're right. Pete's on fire. Unbelievable. Guy's going to help everyone retire. Well, hey, I'm not saying you got to put the retirement on it, but I'm telling you, I was up 60 units last year with this guy. He knows what he's doing. He puts the time and effort in. So when I watch or, follow along, I think there's a few cappers I follow a little closer than others, but there's also times where I'm just like, hey, I got a gut feeling it's the Oilers. I got a gut feeling it's going to be, Tampa Bay puck line last night. So I sprinkle on that. Doesn't work out. There's a lot of experts as well saying, hey, you definitely shouldn't be listening to them. That's why I go with Philly Pete and become a premium client if you want, because that's where his A-plus plays are going. He's going to rank them. He's going to give out his free plays. But look at his client plays, because those as a whole, even more than he has his past couple of seasons. Hebert, Oilers Live, love the Morning Skate as well. They're just funny guys. They're real dudes. That's what I respect. They're not trying to be some NHL Sportsnet panelists. They're not trying to break down every single play. They're real guys. They're having a real conversation. I like that. Also, World Hockey Report, Tuke's hats. Should we do it? We got a lot of response on it. There's a good chance. Maybe a couple of giveaways coming out as well. Big Tortilla, totally gonna rock the toques. I see we're getting tagged in that. Lazy. Well, I mean, we just stuck a logo on a hat. I call it lazy, call it whatever. We're not designers by any means. Okay, SeatGeek, though, our big guest of the day, who might not be our guest of the day as it stands right now, Patrick Johnston. We'll connect with him down the road. Oh, we got an exciting guest coming up next week as well. It does have to do with the sports capping circuit. We'll drop that. Maybe a former NHLer as well, hop it on. But our big guest of the day, always brought to you by SeatGeek. Live only happens once, so don't miss any of the action when you use promo code WHR on SeatGeek. Save $20 off your first purchase with promo code WHR on SeatGeek. That's promo code WHR on SeatGeek. Live only happens once. And speaking of that, I think the guy who would tell you live only happens once, well, he's a Sabres fan. He's with Heavy Hockey Network, and he's pretty damn excited. That's Jeff Reid, the number one Buffalo Sabres fan in Alberta. Sabres win. Oilers fans, we got to change something here. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. I don't like it. It's a 1-2 start. I want to see more out of this team. Games tonight in the NHL. Philly taking on Florida, Winnipeg, Colorado, St. Louis, Seattle. I got my parlay in. It'll be up on Twitter later. Flyers +1.5, Blues money line, Avs money line. Book it. Play of the day. Pete will tell you what it is. I'm thinking I'm going with, Flyers +1.5. I think that's too good to pass up. The Panthers are banged up. It's a home opener. The Flyers are buzzing. Let's eat. You want to go real crazy? Hit me with this one. I'm up on every game too. Use promo code WHR on every game. Get a deposit bonus. Go with this. It's a little crazy. Philly, St. Louis, Colorado. All on the money line. I'll leave you with that. My favorite people in the world, World Hockey Report listeners. As always, everyone, be kind, be better.